Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to have the Lord's Supper together first of all this morning, 1 Corinthians and chapter 11. Read for us these very familiar verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Starting in verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Amen. Matthew chapter 22, and I want to read just verses 34 through 40. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 34 down to verse 40. Starting in verse 34, But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Those two commandments set out a little more in the Ten Commandments, the first four about loving God and the next six about loving others. But the first and great is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. I want to read just as well this morning from Proverbs chapter 4 and two verses, verses 18 and 19. And verse 18 says, But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more under the perfect day. Verse 19 says, The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. So in the Karen language, Lida kador dor, asadu lui, asapor dursi hor, dor dursi qui. Mimi, boaru boalo, aglini. Mathadi, musito, ada gabor. Digi, diga boto, digi, diga. Botor, du le mutu a ni lor, boade de do le agle ni, mathadi, dakithu a thoni, akoge bado, le me nu menu, ni de thinya ba weba. They know not at what they stumble. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again we thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for thy word is truth. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, this morning to glean something from your word, Lord, that would be helpful for us in our relationship with you. And we give you thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 37, the Lord Jesus is giving this in answer to the lawyer who was trying to tempt the Lord Jesus, who was testing him, and obviously with the view of causing him to say something that the religious leaders could point to and say, now there's a problem. But the Lord Jesus was equal to the task, of course, and he said unto this man, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. In my Bible, I've ringed the alls, the three alls, all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Now, I wonder, what does that mean to us? What does that mean to you and I? And more, I'm coming to the conclusion that much and many of our problems in the Christian life are there because we do not obey this first commandment. We do not love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind. Oftentimes we love the Lord our God with most of our heart and with some of our soul and with a bit of our mind, or whatever mixture you like to put in there. And increasingly, it's impressed upon my heart at least, that therein lies the root cause of many problems. We do not love the Lord as we ought to. Because when we love him as we ought to, then nothing's too difficult. Nothing's too hard what the Lord may ask us to do. Nothing is too much trouble. No time spent for the Lord is time wasted. Because we love him. And the Lord Jesus said this is the first and great commandment. I remember reading a story one time about a preacher who preached a message. I forget what the title of the message was now. After the message, a number of folk approached him and said it was a wonderful message. And just thank you, and the Lord blessed them. And then next week he got up to preach and preached exactly the same message. And it was kind of still a good message, but it wasn't, we'd heard it last week. And this went on for two or three or four weeks, and by the end of about a month or so, one of the deacons went to the pastor and said, Pastor, that message you keep preaching, it's a wonderful message, and it's just a blessing, and we're really encouraged with it, but do you have any others? You know, can you kind of give us another one? You know what his response was? He said, when you are obedient to that one, I'll give you another one. And sometimes I feel a little bit like that with this particular passage where the Lord says we're to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. I think maybe we should preach that every week for a month or two until we start to get somewhere near it. Amen. I don't know that I'll do that, but I see it as that important. It's just something that's really on my heart at the moment. Does the Lord have first place in our life? Not second or third or fourth, because if we love God with all our heart and with all our soul and with our mind, then he will have first place in our lives, and not just first place on Sunday, but I believe he'll have first place on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Amen? And many of life's problems would be solved or avoided if we were to obey this commandment. And that doesn't mean we'll be excluded from that. Paul, as he wrote to the church at Thessalonica, he told them, he said, we told you before that we would suffer many afflictions, and we've been through tribulation, and it was in the will of God, but the grace of God was there for them to go through that. Why? Because he loved the Lord, his God, with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his mind, and that doesn't exclude us from tests and trials. The Lord Jesus himself suffered the death, even the death of the cross, and he learned obedience through suffering. But the grace of God was always there, the enabling of God, the empowerment of God was always there for him. And so I want us to think about that this morning. What does this mean to us? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And I almost feel like stopping there and saying, let's pray. Have a look in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Remember, the lawyer, this man, had asked the Lord Jesus what was the greatest commandment, most important, one that was essential. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Notice here in verse 3 of Deuteronomy 6, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Notice what he says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Where did the Lord Jesus get that from? Deuteronomy chapter 6. What's the greatest commandment as Moses gives a summary of God's dealing with the nation of Israel and what lay ahead for them? The thing that he put first of all was that they love the Lord their God with all their heart and soul, and here he puts with all their might. Matthew, it has all his mind, and in I think it's Mark, it says it includes with all your strength. In other words, we are to love God supremely. He is to be the one who has first place in all of our life, in every area of our life. And notice here in Deuteronomy 6, and this is in part of what I was preaching at the fellowship meetings, I guess, in verse 6 of Deuteronomy 6, and these words which I commanded this day shall be in thine heart. And it's interesting how our love for God is entwined and totally joined to this truth of the Word of God and our relationship to the Word of God. Our relationship with God is very much a reflection of how much we love the Word of God, our relationship to the written Word of God. And God says to the nation of Israel, you are to love me with all your heart and soul and might, and these words which I command thee are to be in thy heart, not just in their heads. You know, a lot of Christians have got head knowledge, but not a lot of heart knowledge. And without that, we can't be obedient to that commandment to love God. It's an expression of our love. Have a look in John 14. Those at the fellowship meetings may remember these verses. John chapter 14. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, the Lord Jesus makes a statement there. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Yeah, we could spend all day there, couldn't we? Asking ourselves the question, are we keeping God's commandments? Are we doing those things that God requires us to do? Then you go down to verse 21. And the Lord Jesus speaking again, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, will manifest myself to him. The Lord says, you want to be having a close relationship with me. You want to have a relationship where there will be a sense of my presence. And he says, if you've got my commandments, then you need to keep them. You need to do them. You need to have them in your heart. You have a look in verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he shall keep my words. And as I pointed out, you've got the commandments and the words. It's like this. I say to one of the children at home, Stephen, go and wash the dishes, please. That's a command. But if I'm talking to my wife and we're sitting there and the meal's over, and I say, wouldn't it be nice if someone would go and wash the dishes? And then someone jumps up and washes them. That wasn't a command, but they've kept my words. You see the difference? the commands, they're specific commands, but we have the word of God from cover to cover, the word of God. And God says, you don't need to keep my commands, but you're to keep my word. And so it is. It's an expression then of our love for the Lord. In verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. The same thought there as the word and the sayings of God. Don't say you love God if you're not keeping his word or his sayings. Don't say you love God if you're being disobedient in some area of your life. You don't love God. Because the Lord said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. So it's very clear. You can't love God and disobey his word. The two are in antithesis one to another, in opposition. And Deuteronomy says, and these words which I commanded this day shall be in thine heart. That means you and I are going to have to memorize the scriptures. You and I are going to have to hide the word of God in our hearts. Now, just think about this maybe in kind of some practical ways. How are we going to do this? What's involved in this? Well, one of the things in any love relationship is time spent. Amen? Any husband who says, I just love my wife, and then doesn't talk to her and doesn't spend time with her for a month, you know what the wife thinks? Yeah, he loves me, all right. Sure. Sure, he never spends any time with me, he just loves me. What sort of a relationship would that be? And so if we're going to love God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind and with all our might, that means what? We're going to have to spend some time with God. And not like we do here on Sundays, and this is spending time with God, we'll look at that in a moment, but time with God alone. Where I get alone with God and I spend some time with him. You say, how much time? How much do you love him? Well, I have to work. That's true. That's true. There are duties that we must perform throughout the day. There is no question about that. But when we have time, how do we fill that time? Where is our time spent? When we love someone, we're looking to spend some time with them, amen? I've never seen a young man, a young lady who are interested in each other who don't like spending a lot of time together, whether it's on the phone, whether it's, just speaking or whatever it is. There's always time, isn't it? It's, boy, you ask Jeremy, he'll be able to tell you. And it's no trouble to drive up to Wagga when you, not everybody would enjoy driving up to Wagga, I don't think. In the sense of, it's a long drive. And if you've got a reason to go, let's go. But if you don't have a reason, it seems a long way. But I guarantee you, there were times when Jeremy zoomed up there within the speed limit. But it didn't seem a lot of time. It was like Jacob when he had to work. 7 years, just didn't seem any time to him at all. Why? Because he loved her. The time was no problem at all. But how much time do you and I spend? How much time do we spend with the Lord? I have to ask myself the question, how much time do I spend with the Lord? Just me, one-on-one with the Lord. Because it'll be a reflection of how much I love him. I've only got time for Sunday mornings, that's all. You don't love the Lord too much. Sorry. So time is a factor, and we understand that in normal relationships, how much more with God. God wants us to spend some time with him. You look at the life of the Lord Jesus, and there were days when he got up a great while before dawn. What for? To go and spend some time with his heavenly Father. There were times when the Lord Jesus prayed throughout the night. What for? To spend time with the Father. How much time do you and I spend with our heavenly Father? Or does he have to sit there and in heaven, as it were, and I hope today they'll come and talk to me. I wonder. I hope they'll find some time. I know they're busy and life's busy, but I'm just hoping they'll be able to squeeze in a few minutes with me today. I wonder. Well, if we're to love God with all our heart and mind and soul and strength, then we won't mind squeezing that time in. We won't mind squeezing other things out. Amen. But one of the other things, if there is to be a meaningful relationship, then there needs to be proper communication. Amen. We need to be able to talk so that we understand each other. It's one thing to talk at someone. It's another thing to talk with someone. You know what I mean? I can talk at you right now, but I may not be talking with you on a personal level, one-on-one. We're talking about that kind of relationship where we love God with all our heart and all our soul and with all our mind, and so we are communicating with God. We are talking with him, and don't forget, the communication is not just one way. Sometimes it is. Don't do that, son. That's all that needs to be said. I don't need any response. That's communicating in one way. There's a reason for that. But we're talking about now in the relationship overall, it's I'm talking, they're talking. In other words, sometimes I talk and sometimes I what? Or should do? Listen. Listen. What is the other person saying? And, you know, I fear sometimes that as Christians we know, look, we should read our Bible every day. We know that that's what God would require of us. So we open up the book and we look at maybe chapter 22 and we go, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parable and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, sent forth his servants to call them, were hidden in the wedding and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are cured, all things are greatly come unto the marriage, but they made light of it and went their ways, one to his firm, another to his merchandise. I've read the word of God. Now, Lord, please bless us today. I'm looking forward to what today will bring. Amen. See you later. I'm off. You say, well, I've spoken to God. Well, he's spoken to me. What did he say? Oh, I didn't understand the passage. So he hadn't told you anything yet then. See what I'm trying to say? There's a communication. There has to be not only speaking, but listening and getting something from God. He's speaking to me. And don't look for a voice out of heaven. Oh, just, where's God? Speak to me, God. Where's this voice going to come from? It's not going to come from out of heaven. Don't worry about that. It's going to come through his word. And as we read the word of God, he will speak to us. There will be certain verses and certain passages and certain thoughts that will come to mind. And we'll say, oh, look at that. And my, imagine that. Lord, how good was that? Lord, why did you do that? Lord, why did you allow that? Lord, I can see what you did there. And there's some communication going on, amen? Not just some sterile, read 10 verses, Lord, please bless us, and off. You say, I'm too busy. Well, you're too busy. Our priorities. God is to be where? First. And then what? Second and third will be good too, just in case we forget the first. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And so we're to speak and we're to listen. We're to meditate in God's word. We're to memorize it. We're to read it. We're to study the word of God. We're to immerse ourselves in the word of God. And in so doing, we're doing what God says. We're loving God, and these words are in our heart. In our heart. Let me ask you again, practical. One thing I like about the Christian life is very practical. Or it can be, or should be. Not some pie in the sky up there somewhere out in the blue, you know. We need to get right down to where we're at. Let me ask you, did you really look forward to coming to church here this morning? We call it coming to church, amen? So we'll stick with that. We understand what we mean. Were you looking forward to coming to church this morning? And then if you were, why were you? Why were you looking forward to coming here this morning? Oh, well, I just enjoy the singing. Okay, that's good. Or whatever. But why did we come this morning? Were we looking forward to that? Now have a look in Matthew 18. Here's the point I want to make at this stage about this. Matthew 18. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. Now remember, I asked you the question, did you look forward to coming to church this morning and why? Notice here in verse 20 of Matthew 18 what the Lord Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, where is he? There am I in the midst of them." There am I in the midst of them. Now if you want to meet with the Lord, where would you look to meet with him? Oh, well, I meet with him in the closet. In Matthew chapter 6, the Lord Jesus said, "You go into the closet, close the door, and your Father which seeth you in secret will bless you openly." Yes, true. But where else can we be sure of meeting with God? Seems to me, where two or three are gathered together. And so, again, I ask you, why did you come this morning? Were you looking forward to it, and for what reason? Was it somewhere in your thinking, "I'm looking forward to being in fellowship this morning because I know I'll be able to meet with the Lord there because he said where two or three are gathered, I'm in the midst"? Is that part of your thinking, part of your reasoning? You know, when we sing the hymns, have a look in Matthew 15. Matthew 15, and there's some searching thoughts here that the Lord Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, the religious people. Notice how it starts out there in chapter 15. "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, 'Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread.'" He said, "Oh, this is a terrible sin. They don't wash their hands. How can they be like that?" But he answered and said unto them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" Do we just come here out of tradition? Well, Sunday morning's church, that's the way it is. Well, let's go down a little further. In verse 7, the Lord Jesus summarized some thoughts here. He says, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, 'This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honour me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching the doctrines and commandments of men.'" Now he's talking about the Pharisees and the scribes, but I believe there's an important principle there. He said of them, "They draw nigh with their mouth and honour me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." The Lord says you to love God. How? With all your heart. All your heart. All your heart. Now when we sing the hymns, are we singing to the Lord? Are we singing for the glory of God? Are we singing to bring pleasure to God? Or is it just lip service and our hearts are far out of it? We're busy thinking, "Man, I can't wait for him to get over this so we can get out. We've got some swimming to do today, or we've got something to do today, and I just hope he hurries up so I can move on." And so with our lips, we're singing, and with our lips, we're giving testimony, but our hearts are far from God. You see, if we love God with all our heart, then our hearts won't be far from God. We'll be here because we want to meet with the Lord. We want to meet with God's people. Remember, God said that's one of the tests of whether you're saved or not, John said, by the love that you have for the brethren. We know we've passed under death from death unto life because we love the brethren, John says. So yes, we come for that reason, but the first priority is we come to meet with the Lord, because he says where two or three are gathered, I'm in the midst. The Lord Jesus said, I'll be there. Except if we're like the church of Laodicea. You remember the church of Laodicea? They were increased with goods and had need of nothing. They fought. And the Lord was where? Outside that church, knocking on the door. Well, I trust the Lord's not knocking on the door here. I trust he's in our midst this morning. He's promised to be where two or three are gathered in my name. We've come together to worship the Lord. We've come to hear from God. We've come to have fellowship with God and with one another. And therefore our hearts are in it. It's not just with lip service. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and mind and soul and strength. What does that mean to us? What does that mean in the practical outworking of our lives? Do we really love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind, with all our might, with all our strength? As I said earlier on, many of our problems in life would be solved if we did. If we did. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. It's the first and great commandment. Therefore, Lord, must be the most important by definition. And Lord, it's a very searching commandment, Lord, because all of us would have to acknowledge, Lord, there are times when we would have to say, I don't spend the time that I should. Allow other things to crowd in. There are other times when there's no real communication. I quickly race through a few verses, but that's all that takes place. There's no real communication. Lord, I'm not anticipating meeting with you in that sense. Lord, I'm giving lip service, but my heart's not in it. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us that we would examine ourselves and think about these things. Lord, for many of our problems stem from this disobedience to this first commandment. And Lord, help us to understand perhaps this morning a little better how we can love you as we ought to, spending time with you, spending time in your word, be doing those things, Lord, which are pleasing to you. So we do commit ourselves to you now, and Lord, I just pray that you'd help us, Lord, to think on these things and, Lord, those things that need to be dealt with in our lives that are not where they ought to be. They're not what they ought to be. Now, Father, that we might deal with them, where there's sin and where there's other things, Lord, that we might lay them aside. We might love you supreme with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.